Welcome to the Under the Capes podcast. I'm Tim, and I'm on a mission to build my own geek brand. To help, I'm going under the capes of all the best bloggers, cosplayers, podcasters, YouTubers, and other entrepreneurs to learn how they've built a following around doing what they love. How's it going, entrepreneurs? Welcome to the big one, episode 50 of the Under the Capes podcast. I'm super excited to get to 50 episodes of the show, and yeah, I really appreciate everyone who's listened so far and continues to listen and supports the show and all the guests that have come on. With episode 50, we're changing things up a little bit. So up until this point, I've had a lot of fun talking to a lot of creators and podcasters and bloggers and cosplayers and people that have built geek businesses about everything that they do and having these really fun, wide-ranging discussions. But I wanted to make sure that there was enough value for you, the listener, and that you could choose episodes as you know as we go that you knew would be of value to you. And this is something that I talked to Gabe Barrett from the Board Game Design Lab in episode 48, where his show is a little more specific, and each podcast topic with the guest, you can really know exactly what the show is going to talk about. So I'm switching the format of the show to be a little bit more specific. So every episode is still going to have a guest, a geeky business or brand creator, and we're going to talk about one specific topic. So this week on the show, I have Mike Dolce. He's a writer, artist, podcaster, and really great guest, and we talk specifically about producing a live show. So he is a he's best known for his graphic novel credits. He did the sci-fi tale The Mainstream from Zenoscope, Descendant for Image Comics, The Sire for Aftershock Comics. He's currently has a Kickstarter going for the next series in The Sire, and yeah, all his comics are available on Comixology, iTunes, Amazon, MikeBooks.com, and he also does a weekly radio show on talkradio.nyc called Secrets of the Sire every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and he also streams it live on their Facebook. And yeah, it's a great show that they talk about all different kinds of, you know, pop culture and comic book news and discussions, and they've got kind of a great sports talk radio approach to arguing different subjects, and yeah, it's a really fun show. It's also available in podcast form the day after the live taping for those of us that struggle with the live show. But I really wanted to talk to Mike specifically about the challenges and the lessons he's learned producing a live one-hour show. So we cover a lot of that stuff in this episode. You know, how he structures and plans the show, how you know, the pacing of the show, how he organizes guests for Secrets of the Sire, and a lot of other great stuff. So yeah, trying out this new format. It's going to be a really, you know, a really value-packed episode for you guys about this specific topic. So if you're interested in producing a live radio show or podcast, or if you just want to take some of these tips, I think a lot of these tips can be used for podcasters in general. Yeah, listen on. It's a great show. Let's dive right in. All right, so I'm now joined by Michael Dolce. Mike, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so can you tell me a little bit about your origin story, how you got started in art and comic books, and how that led to Secrets of the Sire?
Sure. So Secrets of the Sire is my radio show and podcast. I do talking comics, movies, TV, and pop culture. But I'm also a graphic novelist, and I've been doing it for about over 15 years now. I've been professionally doing it for over 15 years. But, I mean, it started, you know, way back in sixth grade, and I created my signature character, the Sire, back then. It's not exactly in the form that it is in right now, being that I was, you know, 11, but it was really laid the foundation. I've always loved comic books and graphic novels as a big, you know, 90s Marvel fan, 90s Marvel. I really wasn't big into DC. I just carried that love through college when, you know, all of a sudden you start thinking, okay, you know, do I want to be a graphic designer, or, you know, working in the city somewhere, or do I want to be, you know, doing what I love to do? And the answer was pretty simple. So, that's the short version of getting into comics. There's an even longer version of how it ended up going to the radio show and podcast. If you want to hear it, I'm all about talking about it.
Yeah, that's I'm curious how you decided to start the show and how that kind of fed into your comics career.
Cool. Well, it's funny. So I started out in 2001 self-publishing a book called Crossfire. That was actually what Sire was before I changed the name and rebranded the character. Tried to get into Diamond. Didn't work. Diamond's the distribution company for all comic books. So I really had to kind of reevaluate things. I ended up taking a job at Wizard Magazine. Spent a year in research. Ended up in the as the website editor. So ended up giving me a lot of great contacts, a lot of great networking, and I really built up a strong network of comic book friends and professionals around me, and then relaunched Crossfire as the Sire in 2006. Brought on Dan Leister as the artist. It was a good friend of mine, Darren Sanchez, who's the co-creator of my latest book, Mainstream, who said to me one time, because originally I was drawing, and I was writing and drawing. I was doing everything. I was writing, drawing, lettering, coloring, you know, everything. And he says, you know, at the end of the day, are you trying to make an art project here, or are you trying to tell a story, a comic book story? And I said, you know, I'm trying to put out a story. That's really what I'm trying to do. And, you know, so he encouraged me to go out there and find other working professionals who were better than me, just, you know, point of fact, better than me. And so that's he introduced me to Dan Leister. Dan jumped on the book. And in 2006, I left Wizard and launched The Sire. And that's S-I-R-E. And it was, you know, very successful for an indie book. We got a lot of great exposure and press, and we managed to do 6 issues in a trade, and that got me, you know, more work. Working for Zenoscope, I wrote a couple of Grimm's Fairy Tale issues, and also ended up coloring a couple books, like, on the side and this and that. And just really, you know, from 2006 to 2009 was just all about, you know, making a name for myself as a creator, you know, meeting more industry people and building up that repertoire. Eventually, I got hired to do a coloring job on an Image book called M Theory for Dwight McPherson. And that introduced me to Jim Valentino over at Image. And I said, hey, you know, I'm also a writer and creator, and I've got these, you know, stories and this and that, and I'd love to pitch you. And he said, I'm all ears, send it away. And that got me my Image book, Descendant. That was in 2009. We did about a 3-issue run on that, and things were going pretty good, when I decided to take a little bit of time off, and, cause I'd worked really hard for 3 years, and, you know, I needed 6 months to kind of, get myself back, creatively. I ran out of steam. I think that's the best way to put it. And, so I took a few months off, and in that time, my editor got fired. You know, a lot of my contacts kind of dried up, which, you know, is one of those things where, you know, I still could reach out to folks, but in the comic book business is, you know, what have you done for me lately? And in the period of that, you know, following, it seemed that, you know, all this work I'd kind of put in kind of got me back to square one, which was, you know, thinking about, well, do I self-publish again? What do I do? You know, luckily, you know, I still did conventions. And I still, you know, I would do maybe 3 or 4 per year. I had inventory with the Sire to sell, and decided to try my hand at Kickstarter, which was great. We did a successfully Kickstarted book in 2014 called The Undone, which I'm probably going to... I ended up actually pitching that to Columbia Pictures recently, which was pretty cool. And But by 2014, 2015, I said, you know, 6 years ago, I'm doing image books, and my editor is like, shooting me emails like, hey, when's the next stuff that you're doing? What's the next thing? When are we going to see something new? To, you know, I can't find a publisher for anything. And it was really frustrating. So I ended up meeting a gentleman by the name of Sam Leibowitz. He ran an internet radio station called talkradio.nyc. And I started doing a lot of like heavy networking workshops I'm not even going to call it a day job because I work for myself, but I also do a lot of web development. So I ended up taking on a lot of different clients just to kind of, you know, pay the bills and all that fun stuff while I'm navigating the rest of my comics career. And he says, you know, radio station's a great way to build your brand back. And the more I got into this stuff, people were, you know, I took these workshops and I realized that, you know, it's a lot easier to make a conversation with somebody rather than, hey, do you have work for me? It's a lot easier to start a conversation and say, hey, would you like to come on my show? What have you got going on? Let me help you promote you and, you know, see what I can do to help you. And that kind of was the strategy. So I launched Secrets of the Sire, which was a nice little way of, you know, co-branding it a little bit. And we debuted on talkradio.nyc in 2015. And we've been doing really well. I mean, the last 2 years, we've had just an assortment of great guests. We've had musicians like Billy Corgan from Smashing Pumpkins, Chris Cornell, rest in peace. We got him before, you know, the tragedy struck with him. And Kevin Bacon, the actor. We've had Kristen Annapau from True Blood on as well, too. Kevin Kilner, you know, I ended up taking a trip out to Wizardworld Chicago last year. I got a whole bunch of interviews with some celebrity guests out there, too. Wizardworld people have been great. Still have a few connections with them, too. It's been very helpful to land some really great interviews. And we built our audience up to over 40,000 you know, viewers / listeners, because we stream it on Facebook as well, too, and that's where we get the majority of our views. And we've had some good sponsors. We have some local sponsors, and we've also had, like, History Channel sponsor us for an episode to do a review on Nightfall and, their new Templar series. And so in the process, it's been kind of accomplishing two things. One, it's a lot of fun. I really enjoy it. It's, it's definitely something that, you know, I kind of had a four-year plan, and I'm in the middle of it. I'm in year 2.5 right now. And it's going very well. But on the flip side, what it did was it reconnected me to all my contacts and completely kind of flipped how they view me and, you know, how they view my work and who I am. I mean, you know, one client of mine who I do website stuff for, this company called Starlight Runner, you know, he even says to me, he says, you know, I want to talk to you about doing some comic book work. Because, you know, obviously you know what you're talking about. You know, you come across professionally. My old boss at Wizard, who's now the publisher at Valiant, he's like, you know, I only knew you as the web guy because I was the website editor back then. He says, this is a whole different persona. So that was the real, you know, major reason for doing it was to rebrand myself and to reconnect myself. And it's been, you know, tremendously successful. Mind you, a lot of hard work. I've invested a lot of my own time and money into this as well, too. This is not a cheap endeavor, you know, because you can start a podcast, you know, in your basement. It does not require a lot of upfront capital. But to make it successful, you need to market it. You need to get out there. I mean, I'm making cross-country trips to different conventions looking for great interview guests to really build the credibility up. So it's definitely something that has, you know, taken some time, and I know I got to put more time in as well too, but it's been rewarding, and it led me to reconnecting with Zenoscope, and last year they agreed to publish my new series called The Mainstream, which is about an interdimensional police force, polices alternate realities, keeps bad guys from other worlds from getting into ours. Co-created that with Talon Caldwell, and I mentioned Darren Sanchez as well. Tony Moy is the artist on that. We're all friends, and we've been trying to get a publisher for this for the last, you know, 3-4 years. A publisher that makes sense, though, too, mind you. I mean, I think getting a publisher is not necessarily the hardest part. The hardest part is getting a publisher, you know, with that kind of level of talent involved. You want to go with somebody who's going to have something, you know, to kind of push us forward. And Zenoscope, with their history with sci-fi and, you know, getting things produced, like, we envisioned this as an IP that could easily translate to TV or film. And it just made sense to go with them. We had a working relationship with them. And, but that's all a result of starting the radio show, starting the podcast, building the credibility, reconnecting with a lot of my comic book peers, and here we are. So not too long, right? Not too long a story.
Yeah, I got to talk to Zenoscope at Boston Comic Con last week, and it is, like you were saying, it's kind of funny. Like, I definitely try to put as much value as possible in the show, but the most value is to me getting to talk to all the people that I want to talk to, like having an excuse almost.
It is. I mean, it's like you get a free pass to go up to somebody, but it's not just a free pass, right? I mean, you have to have, you know, I get reached out to by a lot of different podcasts to like, oh, you should come on my show and I'll come on your show, you know, and I'll check their show out and I get maybe like 6 plays, you know, a month. And it's like, okay, well, all right, I'll do it because I'm a nice guy and I love talking to people and I love helping people. But on the flip side, you know, you got to have some credibility to what you do as well, too, or else, you know, it might not catch other people's attentions, you know. So it's a catch 22 in that sense. But at the same time, it does give you this reason to just say, hey, look, I'm here trying to help you guys. I have an audience that likes the stuff that you guys kind of put out or is in the vein of what you guys would put out. And let's talk, you know.
Yeah, it definitely seems like the more work you put in, you know, the better quality the show is going to be, the more followers, the better guests you get.
Yep.
Kind of snowballs from there.
Yep.
And yeah, the other reason that I really wanted to talk to you is because your show streams live on Facebook. It's live on the radio show. Like, what are those challenges like actually producing a live show? Because when I can just record and, you know, take my time editing it over a week, it's like it's not too bad. But actually trying to, you know, stick it in a hour time slot has got to be challenging.
You know what? It actually helps a lot. Now, I'll tell you, I'd say this as I go off for 10 minutes telling you about my past here. Sometimes, you know, we have guests on and it really does help condense and get right to the meat. You know, I try to be as interesting as possible, but I mean, I definitely probably suffer from the same thing a lot of people do, is that being able to kind of pick and choose exactly what you talk about can be challenging. And in an hour format, you know, we do four segments. It breaks it up. So the format itself kind of helps steer the show. So it's actually not as, you know, there's drawbacks to that too. My co-host, you know, laments the fact that sometimes we'll finally get into like a really meaty discussion on whatever topic we're talking about, and then we'll have to go to commercial, and then we pick it back up again. We have a guest on, so we kind of have to wait, and you know, this and that. So there's drawbacks to it, but for me, it's easier to help steer the conversation, and it helps keep it kind of confined in that sense. I mean, I don't know, me personally, I wouldn't want to listen to like a 2-hour podcast, but that's just me, you know. I'd like to really kind of go in, pick the meat of what we want to talk about and what the real, you know, hook of the subject is, or the hook of the guest, you know, like, okay, you know, we're having you on to do this. You have this coming out. Let's talk about this. You feel this way about this. Let's talk about that. And it really kind of, you know, it helps steer it. The downside is there's technical glitches and you kind of just have to kind of roll with them.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't mind the 2-hour podcast necessarily. I don't really like podcasts that kind of amble about,
yeah,
you know, like.
Yeah, and that's why I feel like that happens a lot in some of the stuff I listen to. It's like, okay, you've made your point, and you're basically just kind of circling the same point over and over again, and it's like, all right, let's move on to something, you know, something else at that point. So, you know, having the hour format really helps us.
Yeah, so it seems like even not for a live show, having that strict format of saying, you know, we're going to talk about this for X amount of time, then we're going to move on, like that really keeps, make sure it's fast-paced and keeps people engaged.
Yeah, and it also does, look, it leaves room for unpredictable, you know, discussions too, because like even just this past Wednesday we did our Infinity War Blu-ray review, and you know, in the midst of talking about it, you know, all of a sudden it struck me, we're talking about Thanos. And I said, well, is Thanos is he the best villain that's ever been in the superhero, you know, comic book movie universe? Or is it Heath Ledger's Joker? And, you know, that wasn't something we planned. It wasn't something we were like, okay, we're going to hit this bullet point. It was something that organically kind of happened. And, you know, because we already knew we were devoting the first two segments to Infinity War, you know, we had a lot of space to just kind of fit that in, and we ended up having a really great you know, discussion slash debate on that topic. So,
yeah, because that could be a whole hour right there.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, what's your preparation like for the show? So you said you knew you were going to spend two segments talking about Infinity War. Is that like...
I do a show outline every week. You know, everything I do, or at least everything I do, I try to do is I try to do it professionally. You know, the only thing that I think I've ever done that wasn't, you know, 100% professional was my first comic book attempt, and that was the naivety to think that, you know, everything I did was great. And since, you know, being able to work for as many years as I've been able to work and do different things and, you know, run my own business and this and that, you know, there's just a certain standard that I need to make sure that everything I produce, you know, kind of has. And that includes, you know, the radio show and the podcast. You know, it's a lot of fun, but it's a lot of prep time. Every you know, Monday I'm digging through internet, you know, articles, trying to find a really good angle, a really good pitch on something that people want to talk about, you know, even if it's just a movie trailer or if it's a, you know, movie coming out or whatever, or the behind the scenes stuff. You know, we kind of, our philosophy on the show is we try to bring sports radio to pop culture talk, and really I try to angle it that way. And I think it's a different angle. I think a lot of people don't necessarily do it that way, and that's a good thing, and that kind of helps us stand out. But to do that, you know, it takes a lot of research. Every Tuesday I'm writing my show outline. I'm pulling photos off the internet to go along with it. I mentioned we stream our podcast live on Facebook Live. All that production that I do is done on the spot, but it's all done, you know, that day. Like that day, you know, we go on at 8 o'clock Eastern. I'm working, you know, from, you know, 8, 9 o'clock in the morning until I have to drive into New York City at 4 o'clock and get myself all situated. Making sure the graphics are right, making sure the topics are there, you know, I mean, everything that's there. So it's a meticulously done show. It's great that the studio takes care of all the sound and takes care of the phone call. Sam does an amazing job getting all that stuff together for us so we don't have to actually do any editing afterwards. But then I take the video and I edit the video out, and I'll edit the MP3 that he gives me if I want to fit in any extra commercials or notifications or whatever the case is. And then I'm posting to social media. So, you know, all told, I spend probably 8 to 10 hours a week, you know, on each show. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that seems to be the average time for like an hour show that I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you. I think you mentioned on must have been 2 weeks ago that you guys saw Mission Impossible, like basically because you were like, yeah, you know, like it'll be something to talk about.
Yeah, it is right. I mean, at the end of the day, we're trying to do something of value and interest to people, and it was the cool part was, again, like we try to come up with some different angles, and a lot of times it's very organic. You know, I'm watching this. And all action movies seem to do this now. I think the Fast and the Furious franchise does the same thing where, I mean, these people are like there's that scene in one of the Fast and Furious movies recently where The Rock and Jason Statham are just like going headlong into each other, bash each other's car. Everyone comes out without a scratch. You know, in Mission Impossible 6, like Tom Cruise is like jumping from helicopters and landing and getting knocked off of bikes. And you know, he has an occasional limp. But for the most part, he kind of just shrugs it off. And it's like this level of suspension of disbelief now has crossed over into comic book movie level suspension of disbelief. So what's the difference between Ethan Hunt and Batman? There's no difference. And that was what we kind of centered our whole conversation on. It was basically that.
Yeah, that was a great one. And how you mentioned that you're kind of doing like a sports talk radio of comic books and pop culture stuff is... That it really makes sense, because I think you were saying like you know, the rating show that people love when we argue.
Yes.
And it is kind of like not enough shows really aggressively argue points like you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you know what? Look, it's a credit to my co-host too, though. We literally just have two opposing views, and it's a great thing. And you know, we're friends, we've been friends for, you know, a long time now. We were in a band together for a while. We worked at Wizard, you know, back in the day. So there's a level of comfort where we know that it's not personal, it's never personal. You know, I think there was one time we were doing our Stranger Things 2 review, where like I legitimately was getting aggravated because he refused to answer my question. He just kept, every time I'd ask him the question, he would just fire back, well, okay, well, what do you think? Well, I don't know. What do you think about that? And he kept ping-ponging it. And then we went to commercial break, and I'm like, are you going to ever answer the effing question? You know? And he was like, you know, and we got on each other's nerves. But again, we're friends, so it's not like, you know, at the end of the day, I wasn't like looking at him, you know, personally. I was looking at him just from a professional standpoint. I'm like, come on, come on. And it actually, we ended up listening back to the show, and we're like, this was a really good show. This is one of our better ones.
Yeah, that's just good radio.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, the other thing that you mentioned, like you're streaming it live on Facebook, and people are able to like call in and provide input right on Facebook. How have you been able to manage that kind of audience feedback and input in real time?
You know what? It's the callers. We don't get a lot of callers. We always tell people they can call in, and then you know, anytime I talk to my friends afterwards, it's like, oh, I want to call in so bad, and I'm like, all right, so call in. You know, I'm afraid to call in. So we do get some callers, but for the most part, they stick to the comment on Facebook. Comment on Facebook is easy then, because at that point, you know, again, having a commercial break in between is very, very helpful, because we can pick and choose at that point, and I can stream, you know, stream through the feed. Sam, my producer, you know, he'll notify me also, excuse me, if there's like a really good comment, like, oh, hey, look at what, you know, Brian Everham, who's a loyal listener every week, look what he just posted. You know, so it's easy at that point then when we come out of commercial break to be able to say, okay, let's go to the feed and let's see what people are talking about. Let's see what, you know, let's see your reaction to this. So it becomes very strategic. One thing Hassan made me promise to do, though, which I don't always do, is to wait until we come back from commercial to do it, because sometimes he'll be making a point and I'll be like, wow, look at what Brian Everham just wrote. And, you know, and then it'll like cut him off midway through and he gets annoyed at that. But then we fight and then the ratings go up. So, you know, it's catch-22.
Yeah, because I always see, like, whether it's, you know, streamers or on Twitch, or when you got the chat, like, really buzzing, it's tough to sort through that in, like, live. So that break definitely seems like it's key to sift through it and see if you can bring out a couple good points.
Yeah, yeah. No, it definitely helps. It also gives us a chance to take a breath. that's very good, too.
And then, yeah, as far as organizing the guests for the show, how has that worked out? That is
all me. That is all me, and that's not a brag. That was a sigh. That is all me. So one of the cool things that I do is I'm a freelance writer for AM New York. It's a free newspaper that you get on like the subway in New York City. So I've been writing for the music department for 6 years now. And they don't care what I do with the audio as long as I wait 30 days after I get the audio and 30 days after the, you know, the PC's print in order to use it. So some of the music guests I get through AM New York, which is fantastic. You know, works out really great. And that kind of got me connected to a lot of publicists. And that is also a great thing as well, too, because every time I talk to the publicists about a music guest, I'll say, hey, by the way, do you have anybody else? And, you know, here's what the show is and here's how many people we reach and... and they'll, you know, that's how we end up getting like Paul Reiser from Stranger Things, to come on. He was repped by one of the publicists of, one of the musicians that I was able to interview and, you know, connecting that way. You know, having connections back with Wizard was great too. Jerry Milani is amazing. An amazing PR guy. He works for their, PR department at Wizard, and he's just been so extremely, you know, cooperative and helpful. I'll mention Wizard World on the shows, and you guys, if you can, you know, get me some interviews with some of the, you know, awesome celebrity guests you have, it's a win-win, you know, all around. And to that note, next Friday, the 24th, I'm literally flying into Chicago to try to get some really high-profile interviews, and then bring them back to the show, get them pre-recorded, and, you know, each week we'll be able to kind of, you know, show off a new celebrity guest that we have. So as far as the comic book guests, you know, that's definitely me reaching out to some friends, which is always good. Like Mike Moritz from Aftershock Comics has been on, and Ralph Tedesco from Zenoscope, and, you know, Warren Simons from Valiant. I think I've had a bunch of ex-Wizard guys who are still in the industry right now. They've been on as well, too. And It's just been that's fun to be able to bring them on, and you know, if they got anything going on, I love helping them out. And then meeting new comic book guests. We just had Casey Pierce from Source Point Press, kind of a new boutique sci-fi company that's just been kind of out there the last year or so, year and a half, that's really starting to make some name, you know, starting to make some waves. Had her on, met the editor-in-chief of Vault Comics, Adrian Wassel. He was on. Vault, you know, has a Netflix show based on one of their comics coming out. So it's great. You know, you really get to just kind of, you know, meet new people and meet new companies and build relationships with them. And so that's, again, been the primary focus for me. And that's what I do. Try to make it happen.
Yeah. And that's great that is helped, you know, as you say, grow those relationships. And I'm sure it's really helped your own comics creation career. Having those relationships and kind of keeping them fresh, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, it's a lot easier to strike up a conversation with, hey, I want to help promote your stuff, than it is to say, hey, I'd love to do work with you. You know, I mean, it's no different, really. You know, I was able to do, like I said, a freelance coloring gig years ago, and that got me connected to some folks at Image. And you know, on a professional level, it's a lot easier when you've delivered quality work to then say, hey, I have some other stuff. If you'd like to take a look, yeah, sure, I'd love to take a look, you know, as opposed to just being a guy on the street being like, hey, I have some quality work to see. Yeah, great. You know, who are you? What do you do? I don't know anything about you. So, you know, not possible necessarily to show them your work, but it is possible to just say, hey, I'd like to promote you and get you on the show. You know, it instantly, you know, just creates that know, like, and trust, which is really, you know, what you need to further the comic book stuff.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, yeah, this has been great, Mike. So you mentioned your new comic Mainstream. Where can people check that out?
Well, everything that I do, you can go to mikebooks.com, mikebooks.com. I have everything up on there, but you can also go to zenoscope.com. They are the publishers. They're doing a great job with it. We had our first issue was sold out at Diamond, which was really exciting. You know, hopefully the series continue to maintain that popularity enough to maybe we'll get a trade out of it. And, you know, they can definitely check that out there. Descendant is through Image Comics, but again, you can actually, I mean, you can check that out on like Amazon. You can check it out on Comixology. You can go to mikebooks.com and check it out there too. I actually got some interest in that from some Hollywood folks. So hopefully we'll see if I can turn that into something more than just a comic, and we'll see if we can get that out. And then, you know, The Sire is my Kickstarter baby. I love it. It was one of the things that kind of kept me going in comics when I couldn't seem to figure out what my next move was. And we just finished up the trade paperback for Volume 2. We kickstarted that a couple months ago, and I'll be shipping all that stuff out next month, as promised, which is great. And we'll be doing another Kickstarter in October, so you could follow me on there on Kickstarter, or go to mikebooks.com, and mikebooks.com/Kickstarter goes right to my Kickstarter page.
Awesome. And yeah, one to wrap us up, do you have one final piece of advice for someone just breaking into comic books or starting a live show or a podcast?
You know what? I would say this. That's kind of an all-encompassing question, right? I mean, there's so many different ways to kind of answer that. And I'll say that have a specific goal in mind with why you're doing it, and then be extremely consistent with doing it. Back in 2012, when I was trying to reignite my network, you know, trying to reignite my career, I was like, well, maybe I'll start blogging, you know, because blogging seems to be something that, you know, that is big, but I didn't have a plan behind it. I just said, I should just do a blog. And I didn't know what I was going to talk about. You know, at one point I was doing reviews, and I was like, all right, well, am I a comic book review blog, or am I a behind-the-scenes creator blog? I'm like, well, I'm not really doing a lot of creating right now. I'm kind of, you know, making ideas, but, you know, what does that really mean? And then, you know, I did it for like a week or two, and then I was like, well, no one's really reading this. And I'd look at my site stats and be like, well, yeah, like think like 12 people visited the page. And it's like, so what's the point of me even doing this? And then I eventually stopped. With the podcast and the radio show, people always ask me, and they're like, you know, you could do a podcast from your basement. Why are you schlepping into New York City? You know, why are you paying for a studio? Why are you paying for a producer? Like, Why aren't you just doing it yourself? And I said, well, because I would never do it. But by investing money into it, it became a real job. And by treating it like a real job, we've been consistent. We put a new podcast out every single week. Even the weeks we don't have a radio show, we try to put together some neat content, kind of like a clip show or whatever, or maybe our best interviews or whatever, into a podcast. And because of that, we've been doing 132 straight weeks of content. And that's something that people have told me. They said, I might not catch every episode. I might not catch up on every episode. But I know you're going to be there, and that goes a long way to building the credibility. So that would be my piece of advice for anybody, starting a radio show, doing a podcast, and even just breaking into comics itself. Just be consistent and keep producing stuff, because if you're not, then the same thing that happened to me, where I disappeared for like 6-9 months and came back, and the world wasn't waiting for me. it was a harsh reality to learn. You got to constantly be putting stuff out.
Yeah, that consistency is incredible, and having that studio time definitely seems to be a key of that.
Yeah, and look, it's tough when you feel like nobody's listening either. Like, you feel like you're shouting into a vacuum. There's some shows we get, a ton of live views. We'll get like 100 something live views of the video. People really interacting. People really staying. Jumping on and staying on. And then there's some shows where it's like 4 live viewers, and those are the frustrating ones, because you sit there and say, well, does anybody really care about this? And it's not necessarily because they don't care. It's just, again, whatever they're doing, they just couldn't catch this particular episode. But the numbers stay pretty consistent in the downloads, and they've been going up, and numbers stay pretty consistent in the Facebook views, and they go up. So, there's an audience out there and people are listening. You got to stick with it, or else you won't get anywhere with it.
Awesome. Well, yeah, Mike, this has been great. Thanks so much for coming on.
Hey, anytime. I'm always happy to talk.
There you have it, guys. My talk with Michael Dolce about producing a live radio show. One of the things that I liked that he talked about was the value that the show brings him. So he talked at the end there about, knowing what you want and having that goal, and then making sure everything you do is helping you achieve that goal. And the Secrets of the Sire is really a show that's helping him improve his career as a comic book creator. And yeah, it's that really highlights the benefit that a radio show or a podcast can have towards building up your network. Like, I've met so many awesome people through doing this show and giving you an excuse to talk to people that you already know, and just have, stay updated on what's going on in their lives and what projects they got coming up. And establishing yourself as more of an authority in the industry. And yeah, I think a lot of that, in addition to, the actual reach that your show can get you and all this stuff, just talking to people in your industry can be a really great value. So yeah, be sure to check out Mike's work. The Mainstream is now out on Zenoscope, and the Kickstarter for The Sire is coming very soon, so look for that. And you can check out all his work at mikebooks.com. And for the podcast or the radio show Secrets of the Sire, you can go to secretsofthesire.com, and you can also check out the show, which streams live on Facebook at Secrets of the Sire. And you can check it out on all the podcasting apps, iTunes, SoundCloud, YouTube. And yeah, I'll include links to all of this in the show notes at underthecapes.com/episode50. And moving into this new format, I'd really love your help and opinions here in a couple of different ways. So I'd love to learn what you think about the new format. If you like it, if you think I should go back to the old ways where it's a more wide-reaching discussion. And if you like this format, I'd love to know what specific topics you'd like me to cover, and I can find guests that are kind of experts in those specific areas and help inform the direction of the show that way. So yeah, you can reach out to me on Twitter at Under the Capes, Instagram at Under the Capes Podcast, or by leaving a comment on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you happen to be listening to. So yeah, thanks so much for listening to this show, and for those of you that have been sticking around for 50 episodes. I'm looking forward to continuing the show and delivering some good value to you guys. So thanks so much. I'll see you next week. Thanks so much for listening to the Under the Capes podcast. I hope this has motivated you to either start or help grow your geek business. If you like the show, I'd love if you could give us a rating or review on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you happen to be listening from. And feel free to connect on social media, on Twitter at Under the Capes, Facebook at Under the Capes, and on Instagram at Under the Capes Podcast. Thanks so much, and have a great day.